faced a mountain that I have no strength to climb. And the struggle of this journey's left me weak, both in body and in mind. Where I stand to the peak is a distance on my own I cannot reach. So this journey of a thousand steps begins right here on my knee. Soon I'll soar like an eagle. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost high on the wings of grace, far into the heavens, where I can almost see God's face. Like a mountain's just a hill, heaven's point of view. Let me get down here with you. Let me sing to you now. I may face things tomorrow. You know about cancer. I can't comprehend today. Circumstances so uncertain make it hard to find the strength to pray. But I'm living in the promise, I'll never leave you, I will always see you through. So what's this mountain to an eagle flying high? Heaven's point of view. Oh my God, this is beautiful! Soon I'll soar like an eagle. That's it! Rise above your circumstance! High on wings of grace. God loves those tears, honey. He loves us! Far into the heavens, where I can almost see God's face. Like a mountain's just a hill, heaven's point of view. Ooh. What once looked like a mountain's just a hill, heaven's point of view.
Bible, and turn with me tonight to the book of Matthew, and I want to preach about the majesty on high. The majesty on high. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. I hope today my preaching about Christ and about the Father tonight will have such an effect upon you that this week will be one of your greatest prayer weeks in your life. Since we're not having revival as you had expected, that means you've got from about 6:30 on each evening until about 9:30 to spend with the Lord. Don't cut that box on. I warn you, I beg of you, if you got one of them boxes in your home, don't cut it on. Never forget hearing the story about this preacher man who was so diehard against television. And he got a bunch of kids. And here they are begging, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, we want a television." Finally, he went and bought them a television. And the next day, the delivery truck drove up in the yard to deliver the big television. And it said on the back of the truck, as it backed up to the front door, "We bring the world into your home." And he screamed, "Take that thing back where you got it from. You're not bringing it in my house. We bring the world into your home." I mean, that was the advertisement of the truck, of the whole purpose of a television. They bring the world into your home. And some of it is okay. You know, there really is some things there that can be educational. But do you know anybody that's ever been able to control one of them boxes? How many of you know somebody's been able to control them? Raise your hand up. Let me see. Anybody? Yeah, I control mine. I got it out of the house. That's the best way to control that thing. Oh, no, not my house. I can't stand it. We go off in motels, and we'll cut it on for a minute. And we're both full. It won't take for 5 minutes. Cut that thing off. You know, when you get away from it, it really is annoying. Now, as long as you're kind of hooked on it, it don't may annoy you. That's because it's got a hold of you. But when you get rid of it, it annoys you. The news announcements are pathetic. The announcers in news are a bunch of half-clad women who are trying their best to look sexy. I ain't bringing it in my house. I don't want it. I don't want it. You know? I will set no unclean thing before my face. Remember that prophet of God who said that in the Bible? I will set no unclean. Well, I didn't mean to preach everything I'm preaching tonight. I hope you love me, because I'm just obeying this old heart of mine. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, and we'll begin with verse 9. The book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 9. Now, I'm going to put that on the internet, by the way, along with the sermon. The world needs to hear that. All right, Matthew 6 and 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is done in heaven. Give to us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And he prayed, saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Jesus fully intended in the Bible for all of his disciples to know and love the Father. Amen. There was something unique about the ministry of Christ in teaching the people to love the Father. Now you keep that thought in mind, and you start reading the Gospels with that thought in mind. You start reading the things Jesus said. Go to St. John 14, 15, 16. Look at how Jesus was teaching the disciples to love the Father. Now, that really has got a hold of me. Because I really believe that that's something the church world doesn't have a good comprehension of. How Jesus taught us to love the Father. And he tells us in John 15 how that when we bring fruit in this Christian life, that we exalt the Father. We bring glory to the Father. We bring honor to the Father. And it's beautiful indeed to understand how Jesus taught us to love the Father. Father, lay your hand on this preacher man tonight, that I may speak as the oracles of God, and that I may minister as of the ability the Father gave me. I pray that prayer simple in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The majesty on high. The majesty on high. It was so beautiful to me as I read that text that was my sermon text this morning, when I noticed how all these wonderful things about Jesus that we see in that first chapter of Hebrews, and how every bit of it shows us that when Jesus had finished the task of Calvary, when he had purged us from our sins, he ascended back to be seated on the right hand of the majesty on high. To be seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. There's a lot of feeling in that, a lot of understanding in that, in trying to have a feeling and understanding of the Father. You will find in the scriptures I share with you tonight, if I get to all of them, you'll find that it was the will of Christ that we would have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. The Son never intended our fellowship only be with him. He never came to take the place of the Father. He never came to honor himself above the Father. He came to exalt the Father and to honor the Father. And then the Father honored the Son equal with the Father. It's beautiful to see that as you study the Holy Scripture. So indeed we find the Bible is full of this understanding of the Lord Jesus and this understanding of the Father. Let's begin in understanding the Father to go to the book of Isaiah chapter 6 and get a little picture of what Isaiah saw as he became acquainted better with the Father. Isaiah was already a believer. He was a prophet of God. He was a statesman prophet in that he prophesied in the courts of the king. He prophesied in the halls of government. He prophesied among the high priests and among the leaders of his generation. He prophesied to the Sanhedrin. He prophesied to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he was the statesman prophet and was deeply involved in those matters. The king was of kinship to Isaiah, and I'm sure that had been some of the reason that Isaiah had rose in status to actually speak in the halls of government. And he was a statesman prophet because the king was of kin to him, and he was of kin to the king. And so this picture that we have in Isaiah 6 is at the death of the king. The death of that man that knew Isaiah, that Isaiah knew. And no doubt Isaiah had a lot of confidence in him. People have a tendency to trust in government policies and government people. And we overdo it. We should not underdo it. We should respect those in leadership. The Bible tells us that. We should pray for them. But we should never put our confidence in the victories they win, but in the confidence and the victories the Father wins. Amen? And it seemed maybe that Isaiah had passed over that balance and had kindly become unbalanced. And so we see in Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Now, the king has died. Isaiah is apparently in the house of God. He's going for refreshment. He's going for understanding. He's going to dig himself out of the valley that he had found himself in. He goes to get a new vision of God. Everybody needs to have those moments in your life that you get a fresh vision of God. That's the reason much of the church world is so decrepit today in a spiritual sense, is they don't go back regular to get a new vision of God, a new vision of the mighty Father. I would pray tonight that you would get a burden to have a new vision of God. Isaiah doesn't tell this story in the scripture to entertain us. He tells this story to teach us and to inspire us and to make us hungry after the Father. Hungry after the Father. Surely we must be hungry after the Lord Jesus. We must long after him with a passion in our heart, but we must not forget the Father in our seeking after Christ. We must have fellowship with both the Father and the Son and in the Holy Ghost. So in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah sees the Lord. And he's seated upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train did fill the temple. Now, I want to promise you, You get on your face and you find your place to pray. And you pray till you pray through. And you'll get a fresh vision of him on his throne. You may not see him as Isaiah did, because this was the giving of a vision to enable the church and enhance the church and to fill the scripture with the things God wanted us to understand. But you indeed may have. But I can tell you this, he'll give you an experience that will be real. He'll give you an experience that will be real. I can look back at the times when I knew as much as I was alive that the Lord had just joined the company where I was. That his presence had showed up. And the thrill, even chills would run over my body and up and down my being as the Lord would manifest himself. And I'm going to tell you, these last years of my life, I really want to see him. I'm getting a burden to see him like Isaiah saw him. I'm getting a burden to get a little glimpse of maybe what Apostle Paul saw. I'm getting a burden to have a trench experience with Jesus like Peter had. I'm getting a burden for an experience with God that I may know him in an intimacy greater than I've ever known him. If you have that burden, slip a hand up, will you? I've got to know him. I've got to have an experience with him. I've got to meet him like I've never met him. I've got to know that he's real. I already know he's real. I got to know anew that he's real. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's nothing like him showing up as he showed up in that hotel room, I guess it was, with Sister Judy, with conviction that said, this is your night. You've been praying for this, and here it is. And she took advantage of it. And Isaiah here has a vision of God high and lifted up. And I'm telling you, he's not going to be a Santa Claus to you. I got news for you. He's not just some daddy that you can call with some cheap name. He's the Heavenly Father. Don't you ever speak of him in no other terms. It overwhelms me when I hear some of these modern day Christians talk about God like he's their Santa Claus. He's their pet father. And you know, it gets to me because I know how sovereign he is. And if he shows up, you won't be left standing with pride and arrogance and haughtiness. You'll be smitten with the glory and the beauty and the majesty of his presence. I'm ready to be smitten, Lord. I'm ready to be smitten, Lord. Hallelujah. He saw him high and lifted up. And his train. That train means his entourage. These are the great host of angels. The great host of seraphims and cherubims. The great host of living creatures that are majestic in all their splendor. Oh, that are marvelous in all of their power. And they were in the presence of the King, of the Father. And Isaiah saw them like a train that did fill the temple. I'm not talking about a little building like this neither. I'm talking about a heavenly temple where the Father has his throne. And it's big enough for the host of angels in the millions together on a given occasion. You read in the book of Job where the angels of the Lord came together for a hope for a meeting with the Father. And the devil showed up among them. And it took a big place for that. I'm here to tell you. And it was filled in this vision with the glory and the majesty of the Lord. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy. These great seraphims are worshiping. And they're there to worship, to teach Isaiah to worship. Did you know the worship of the angels is an example to us of how we ought to worship? And I get amazed. It seems to me today to get people to worship takes some kind of, I don't know, it takes some special something to get people really on their feet, in their heart, begin to pour out themselves in worship. I preached it last Sunday with all my heart. You don't worship because he showed up. You worship so he will show up. That's the reason many people never have a vision of God, is because they aren't going to worship till he shows up. No, you worship and then he shows up. That's what happened. Am I right? That's the picture. Isaiah begins to worship and God shows up. Oh, hallelujah. What a picture. and his train filled the temple, and the seraphims, they are filling the place, and the glory is in the house, and they're praising God, and their words are holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth, didn't say heaven, it said earth. You know, if we get our eyes open really good by the Holy Ghost, we'd see a lot of things we don't see now. There's a lot of times you'd sense the presence of God if you was already in the right mood for God to reveal himself to you. God don't show up to intrigue you. God don't show up just to you know, try to get your emotions raised up. God shows up because he shows up to be worshipped and to be the center of your attention and to be glorious among you and to meet needs in your life. What a picture. Indeed, what a picture. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Ah, people, when I talk about the Shekinah glory of God, I always meet people who begin to put it down, and they just can't handle it. I know good people who can't handle the idea of God's Shekinah. Well, all we're talking about is God's presence. All we're talking about is God's glory. And his glory was in this house, and Isaiah was right in the middle of it. I mean, this was an experience. And you, let me tell you something. There's not one experience in this Bible that's not real. And if it's ever happened in this Bible, it can happen again. Whatever's in that Bible is what God wants to do today. Whatever's in that book is what God desires to do today. God wants to show himself. I am of the opinion that God is yearning for the right to show himself to this generation. I got to be in the middle of it when it shows up. Glory, glory, glory. God is a glorious God. And the place was moved. The house was moved and filled with Shekinah glory. And God had showed up to magnify this heavenly Father. We're talking about the Father now. We're talking about the great eternal Father. That great creator of this universe. Of course, he created through his Son. But he's the mastermind. He's the great thoughts. He's the great God, Jehovah. Hallelujah. I always say God is the one who thinks it. Jesus is the one who says it. And the Holy Ghost is the one who does it. Is that okay? God is the great mind. He thinks it. God the Son is the great voice. He's the Word. He speaks it. God the Holy Ghost is the great moving of power and majesty. The right arm of God. And he does it. God thinks it. Jesus speaks it. The Holy Ghost does it. Now, you get that picture of the Trinity, and you got, a biblical concept of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And that's what I'm trying to give you today, is this fresh concept of God. Seeing him in his majesty. Looking for him. How many of you would start praying and seeking God in such a manner that you could start expecting him to show up? I mean, just a while ago, he just kind of moved through this place. I thought maybe he was fixing to take over, and I was waiting on him. I was ready for it. I'm not one of those to try to create something. I'm one of those who waits on the King. I want him to show up. I want him to reveal his glory. I want his majesty. I want his power. And here we see the picture of God. He's majestic. He's marvelous. He's surrounded with angelic creatures, seraphims and cherubims. His glory is such that fills wherever he may be, wherever he may come. And he's wonderful in all of his person. He's marvelous in all of his being. And the Bible says that Isaiah immediately fell on his face. Then said I, woe is me, for I'm undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I got to see him. If I don't see him here, I'm going to see him very soon. Hallelujah. You just remember the moment we move out of here, the moment we take our flight to worlds unknown, to a place where the Bible said Paul, the great author of much of these books, saw. He said it was unspeakable. He said it wasn't even lawful for me to tell you what I saw. It was so glorious. But then here comes John, and God gives him a vision, and he tells us what he saw. Oh, what a God we serve. So we have this great God who has manifest himself, who is available, who is real, who is marvelous, who is heavenly. He is a God of majesty and power. Now go with me to Second Chronicles 7 and 14. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. Very familiar, but I want us to look at it a minute because it's talking about the Father. It's talking about us seeking the Father and us caring. I had a person this week that kind of quizzed me a little strong about my praying and being so involved in the election last Tuesday, that I'd spent the day fasting and praying and begging other people on the internet and on radio and here in the church to fast and pray with me and to spend the day on our faces that God would move in this nation. And people said, you know, most preachers don't really care about those kind of things. And I'm thinking, why? In fact, I asked this preacher, why? Why would we not be concerned with our world? Well, they just say it's going to happen like this, and the time of the end is here, and there's nothing you can do about it. And I said, but wait a minute. Why should I let the devil take over everything on my watch and not at least fight back until the time I'm out of here? Why would I not do that? Why would I not take a stand for what's right and holy and pure? This is my country, not Obama's. This is my America, not a bunch of liberal people. This is my nation. I love it. I pay taxes. You pay taxes. Why should we be concerned? Well, I think the Bible answers that in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, who's he talking to? Anybody here he's talking to? Slip a hand up. If my people who are called by my name. If my people who are called by my name. God's talking to us. God's talking to us. God's telling us something. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. God the Father is talking. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from where? Heaven. I will hear from heaven. He's up there, we're down here. And he says, I'll hear up there from down here. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're thinking. I hear what you're feeling. If my people, which are called by my name, will turn from their wicked ways and pray and seek my face. Now that's God talking to us, and I don't think anybody has a right to not listen to that. I'm upset with preachers when they don't have the guts and the courage to speak up when a same-sex marriage is taking over our nation and moving in our churches and moving into every level of authority, and a preacher don't have the courage to stand up and speak for the people to hear him. He's not worth his salt. Am I right or am I wrong? How many agree with that? That man's not worth his salt. And most of them won't say nothing. I don't want to get in trouble with the law. Well, I just would kind of like to be in trouble with a liberal law that's turned against God and turned against his ways, because I believe in the fact that truth will always prevail. And when God is in a fight, he wins every time. And the only way God can get in a battle that's going on in our country is if his children will get in the battle, because it's us he uses for the battle. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. L-A-N-D. What does land mean? Anybody know? Does that mean geography? Does that mean states and counties and governments? Of course it does. It means our country. God is able. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something. God did some work this past Tuesday in this nation. It isn't complete. It isn't final. And when those dudes get to Washington, we need to hold their feet to the fire. But I'm here to tell you, God is still God, and He's on His throne. Hallelujah. And He answers prayer when we pour ourselves out and pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Sister Andra. He answers prayer. And it's time we believed Him. He's our Father. I'm here to tell you, He's concerned about this nation of ours. He's concerned about this globe in which we live on. He's concerned about which direction it's going. And yes, He's going to turn it over to the Antichrist at a given time. But the rapture hasn't taken place. And He's not ready yet. And we got a responsibility until we get out of here. Hallelujah. When I leave this earth in the rapture, I'll be in the rapture whether I'm dead or living. And when I leave this earth, I plan to leave it with a shout and look back and say, I did my best for you, old earth. I did everything I knew to do. I stood for truth. I preached the word. I never backed up, and I was never bashful. Hallelujah. Man, you got me excited. Hallelujah. It's time to be usable to the Father. The Father wants you on His camp. Do you understand that? He wants you in His business. He wants you doing His biddings. He wants you standing for Him. And that's the picture of the Father inviting His people to involve themselves in our business. It happens to be our business as well as His. We are laborers together with God. Say that with me, would you? We are laborers together with God. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Matthew 22, 37. You got to look at that. Matthew 22, 37. Matthew 22, 37. This is Jesus talking. What did I say at the beginning of my sermon? I said Jesus intended with all that was in Him to teach His disciples to follow and love and respect the Father. He didn't come and hold Himself up and say, look at me. He came and said, when you look at me, you see the Father. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you look at me, you see the Father. I came to glorify the Father, He said. I don't speak my own words, He said. Whatever I hear the Father say is what I say. I'm talking for the Father. Everything I'm doing it for the Father. I'm here on Father's business. I'm here to please the Father. I'm here to make the Father real to all of you. I'm here to exalt my Father. I'm here to lead you into understanding who He is. I'll teach you how to pray to Him, our Father, which art in heaven. He didn't say your Father. He said our Father. He's the Son's Father, just like He's my Father. And so the Son and I together pray, our Father, which art in heaven. You won't believe how many times I've prayed half of that prayer. Why do you only pray half of it? Because it's the middle of the night. And I wake up. And I don't want to stay awake. And I want to go to sleep. And so I start praying the Lord's Prayer. And never finish. Never finish. Sometimes I can remember the last words I spoke before I was in the netherworld. Before I was back asleep. I prayed that prayer many times and only prayed a little of it. I only prayed a line or two. Sometimes I'd pray the whole prayer, but not often. Usually I'd go to sleep before I finish. And that's right up until now. That's just how I stay asleep sometimes, is I pray the Lord's Prayer. The devil gets mad and backs off and leaves me alone. I go back to sleep. Are you hearing me? Amen. Hallelujah. So learn to pray. Well, listen to this. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Jesus saith unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And with all thy mind. Listen. Jesus is talking about His Father. Oh, grace. Oh, this is too big for me. I'm here to tell you, this is too big for me. This is too big for me. Jesus teaching me to love His Father, my Father. Teaching me to love Him with all of my heart and my soul and my mind. And I just don't believe I'm perfect in that yet. And I just doubt seriously any of you are perfect in that yet. How many can say I want to love Him with all my heart and my soul and my mind? And I'm going to start working on it. I'm going to start practicing it. I'm going to start. See, everything you do for God, everything that becomes a way of life with you is something you start doing usually by faith. And as you keep doing it by faith, it grows on you until it becomes part of you. And it becomes as natural as it can be. And that's what God wants you to do. And so Jesus is teaching them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I guarantee you there's nobody in this building doing that. I got some I don't even know. I've been trying to change that, but it isn't easy. And a lot of them just, it just bothers them when you show up. But God help us, thou shalt love, let's start with loving God. What do you say? Let's love him with all of our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength. That's the words of Jesus. He's talking about the Father. I'm trying to help you understand this great Father that is my Savior's Father. Hallelujah. He was begotten of God. He was begotten of the Father. Do you understand that? The only begotten Son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. Well, go to 1 John 1 and 3. I'm trying to take you and show you some wonderful things that I hope will change your life. First John. Not St. John now. First John. This is over close to Revelation. First John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and then Revelation. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. This is John talking to the disciples, to the believers. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The early church was an example, a model, where the believers had constant fellowship with God the Father and God the Son by God the Holy Ghost. That's why he sent the Holy Ghost. He sent the Holy Ghost to be the door that takes you into the Father and the Son's presence. He sent the Holy Ghost to be the porter. You're not able to go and bang your way through the door into the Father's presence. You can scream and yell and squall and do anything you want to get into the Father's presence. But I'll tell you when you're going to get there. You're going to get there when you waited and the Holy Ghost has showed up. And he's going to open that door and you are welcomed in and into the Father's glorious presence. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about really waiting on God in prayer. I'm talking about get in your room, close the door, tell him to cut the telephone off and don't answer if it rings. And just get in there and say, I'm here to stay with God until I have fellowship with my Father and with my Savior. And it won't take long. How long does it take you sometimes, Brother Ken? But sometimes it's not long at all. I love that. Sometimes you just start praying and the Holy Ghost is there before you hardly can say a sentence. And sometimes you pray an hour or so and nothing happens. And you just pray by faith. See, if you don't live and pray by faith, you'll never pray by feeling. If you don't pray by faith, you'll never pray with feeling. If you don't pray by faith, you'll never pray by feeling. If you don't get on your face and determine, you'll stay there as long as you need to stay there. I never forget reading about a great old Methodist preacher. He was hungry after God, and he got careless. He got careless, and the power departed, and he was preaching. There wasn't much in his preaching. It was just kind of dead stuff, and he got to looking at himself. And he said, I am going to pray through and get my life straight. And so he started praying. And he had a teenage daughter that really loved God. And she said, Dad, I'm going to pray with you. So I was praying about, I'd been there almost all night. The little girl kept saying, Dad, don't give up. Just keep on. Hang in there, Daddy. Just pray. I'm with you, Daddy. We're going to pray till the Father shows up. They prayed. It was not long till morning when God showed up where they were praying. I mean, he came in a glory and a majesty, and that man became a preacher that could turn a place upside down because God had showed up and God had manifested. Go cut that air off of these people. I got them cold, would you? Cut that air. That one right, John, is just that one's the only one on. You know God is a good God. How many of you know God's a good God? And you get on your face and you stay there long enough. You stay there devoted enough. You stay there dedicated enough. And I promise you, He'll be there. You just can't believe what would happen this week if every one of us would do that. Get along with God. Set your night. Remember now, you got about 3 hours every night. You're not coming to revival. So let's have a revival in the home. Are you with me, Brother Dillon? You got to go to school, haven't you? Oh, man. Hope they're getting his head all straightened out. But that's okay. He'll be paying tithes. Hallelujah. He's a faithful tither. That's just part of life, you know. God's good, isn't he? Isn't he a wonderful father? Love the Lord thy God. Jesus taught us. He taught us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind. And here the disciples are having fellowship with God. What an example. Having fellowship with God. And he wants us to have fellowship with him. He really does. Now, I'm going to end going to St. John 15 and 1. St. John 15 and 1. I want you to go with me. And I want us to really get a picture of this. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm loving preaching tonight. I just want you to know the Father is really wonderful. I want you to know he's majestic. I want you to know he's the mighty one on high. I want you to know he's seated on his throne. And Jesus is right there beside him. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost is down here doing the biddings of the Father and the Son. It's all in order. It's going on right now. Hallelujah. And it's not going to end until he's ready to end it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. All right. The book of John, chapter 15. This kind of concludes this whole relationship that we're trying to develop in our mind between us and the Father and the Son. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, I'm sorry. And my Father is the husbandman. Now that's the picture. The Father is the husbandman. He owns the vineyard. He owns the vineyard. Are you listening to me? He owns the kingdom. He owns the whole universe. He owns everything. The air you breathe. He owns everything that you may get for food. He is the master of it all. He's the husbandman. But his son is the vine. Well, what is a vine? A vine is that which brings the nutrients out from the husbandman into the world for people to enjoy. So he's the vine. And who are you? What are you? What is your relationship to the Father, who's the husbandman, and the Lord Jesus, who's the vine? You're a branch. You are part of the vine, but you're not the vine. You're a branch on the vine. Are you understanding? You're a branch on the vine. So that everything the husbandman provides in the vineyard that comes through the vine then comes to the branch. And you are to be a recipient of all the Father is, because the vine is the source by which the husbandman is feeding it into your life. You're the vine. I said that wrong. You're the branch on the vine. And everything the vine is, you are to be part of, and you are to receive into your life. That's beautiful. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. If you're just a branch hanging there on the vine, and you don't even have any luster about yourself, you're kind of dried up and dead, he will soon cut you off, and you'll disappear. I'm talking about the kingdom. You'll disappear. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, I want you to get this picture. Here's the husbandman. He owns the vineyard. This is his world. This is his kingdom. It all belongs to him. He's the God of the world. He owns the universe. The earth is mine and the fullness thereof, he said. It's all his. But he sent his son to be the vine so that he could get what he is to us. We had to have some source, some means of getting what he had. And so he sent his son to be the vine. And then when you get saved, the Holy Ghost connects you to the vine and you become a branch. And then as you are a branch and you're serving him, he trims on it. You wonder why you have these hard places and you feel like a dog, because he's disciplining you. He's dealing with you. He's trying to straighten you out. He's trying to teach you the right way. He's trying to help you walk straight and right. And so he's trimming on you. He's purging you. He's cutting off those dead leaves. You know, if you got a flower, you got to cut off the dead leaves once in a while. And the Lord looks at you and he says, look at that branch there. It is so withered. I mean, look at that branch. It is so full of dead leaves. And he trims it off in a hurry. You know? But he's doing something wonderful. Because he wants you to become a fruit-bearing vine. A fruit-bearing branch. He wants some fruit hanging on you. He wants people to look at you and say, look at those wonderful spiritual grapes hanging on Brother Marlon's life. Listen to him when he teaches Sunday school. He says the most powerful, wonderful thing. Where did he get that from? Yesterday morning, I'd lived in my Bible on Friday night and had read the book of John chapter 15. And man, my soul had got fed. And I spent an hour in John 15 Friday night. I came to breakfast yesterday morning, and what did I hear but a recap of what I just went through? And it was wonderful. It was thrilling. It was an amen to what I'd already experienced, and here I am in it again tonight. I want to tell you something. He is the husbandman. Jesus is the vine, and you are a branch. Now, you ought to be grateful that he made you one of his branches. Listen to me here. Calling Sister Yvette's kid's name hasn't got easy for me yet. I'm trying to say Jeanette. Hallelujah. Listen to me, Jeanette. You're a branch. You're a branch. You're a branch, Brother Johnson. You're a branch, Brother Johnson. You're a branch, Brother Ed. You're a branch, Brother Williams. Hallelujah. And God wants fruit out of you. Oh, you say, what can I do? Whatever he's given you to do. Everybody's calling, and gifts are different. Do what you are capable of doing, and do it with all your heart. And if you're not doing nothing, cry out to God to get you busy. Amen? You belong to the Father. The Lord Jesus wants you to have fellowship with the Father. He wants you to love his Father. He wants you to praise his Father. Let me tell you, there is nothing you can do for the Father that's more wonderful than to love him with all of your heart and your mind and your soul. Could I tell you something with faith? You start loving my Father with all you are, and it won't be long till he's going to be giving you something to do. That's how you get what you ought to be doing, is by loving the one who gives it to you. And loving him with all the love of your heart. You say, I don't have no reason to love him. He saved you, didn't he? You don't need no better reason than that. Would you stand? I want to tell you, the Father is majestic and majesty. The Father is the mighty God. The mighty God. Mighty to save. Mighty to heal. Mighty to show himself wonderful in our behalf. And he cares about you. And tonight, I want to send you home with a passion this week to know God like you've never known him. And he is available. He is interested. He's ready to show himself to you. In fact, you read John and you'll find that Jesus is saying he will reveal himself unto you. I mean, he wants to reveal himself unto you. Hallelujah. Well, I've enjoyed preaching to you tonight, church. I love what the Spirit of the Lord did, moving through us and making us grateful that we've been saved. Sister Yvette, you thrill me. He's made a new creature out of you, little lady. Hallelujah. And he's doing the same for those wonderful young people of yours. It's a joy to serve the Lord. It's a joy to live for Jesus. Brother Ed, you're just blessing us with the tingling of those keys and those notes. I mean, it's thrilling. I love the music. I love singing. I love praising the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Would you just right where you stand, lift your hands up and talk to the Father. And go to him now in the name of Jesus the Son. And believe him that the Holy Spirit will manifest himself to you over these next days. Father, I love you with all of my heart. You've been so good to me. You've ministered to me in ways I don't deserve. And this week, I'm asking you to show yourself to me in a fresh way. I'm asking you to reveal yourself to Joseph Chambers in a baptism of fire, that next Sunday I will be a better pastor and a better preacher. I want to be a flame of fire, as I am told in Hebrews 1 and 7. I want to be a flame of fire. I want an anointing that shakes the people of God and the unsaved, and brings sinners to Calvary's tree. Il me. Oh, he's near. Raise your hand and don't be in a hurry. Just love on him. I'm a loving on you, Lord. I'm a loving on you. You've been so good to this preacher, man. Oh, how much you've loved me. How much you've loved me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus, draw me to the cross. Just a yielded vessel. That's all I want to be. Hallelujah. Yielded to you. Loving you, Father. Loving you, my Father. Having fellowship with you. And having fellowship with the Lord. I love you. I love you. I love you. It's wonderful, church, to be His. I want Brother Dylan to come up here and dismiss us in prayer, if you would, Brother Dylan. Just come right up here to the pulpit, and I'll give you the mic in just a moment. Just open your heart, young man. Hallelujah. Open your heart. Let God be real. I want to tell you, church, He wants to be real to you. How many of you would like to have a fresh revelation of Him this week? Could I see your hand? Really, would you? Raise it way up high. Let Him know you really mean that. Let Him know you're watching for it. You're waiting on it. You're going to seek Him with all of your heart.
God, I thank You for this, the message of the day. Help us to take them with us and live off of them this week. Help us to grow and to seek You, and help us to spend time this week preparing for revival. I love You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Bless you, Dylan. God bless you. Have fellowship. Shake some hands. Hug some necks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take your Bible and turn with me tonight.